过五套的，不过比较的自然内心或者必须要改用。They are paying with the Beijing one or by far. You got me even better than the Kalgandan was unable to train us up to fight. We have Falga as playing a very critical role on the divisional revenue to express a view on how and what are the implications of this as tabled by the Minister of Finance during the budget day. Falga here represented by Mr. Pue Sengwa, the Executive Director for Municipal Finance. And the rest of Salga team has expressed apology to their president, Pakistan, that they are having the Salga and National Executive and be having our meeting. But they remain available to interact with the NCOP at any given time. So for that reason, honorable members, please allow me to give opportunity to Mr. Simpiwe Zengwa to lead up Salga's presentation. But before that, I'll allow Baba to just indicate if we have apologies for this meeting. I think if members have seen the agenda, from then we'll consider the oversight report that we had with Saldana and then Minyan. And the business will grow. So I think the main issue here is the presentation by Salga. Thank you. Any apologies?
Thank you, Chair President. Good morning, honorable members. We have received three apologies from Honorable Mathieu Bola, Honorable Mondara, and Honorable Kenya. Thank you.
Three members are not available here. Before we close, I think we'll give over to the secretary to just confirm arrangement for whatever outstanding progress for the current meeting so that the clarity that they have now. Mr. Zengwa, can I give you opportunity to address the Senate Committee of Appropriations? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning to you and to members. Yes, our NC is the current meeting and the appointed from the president of the organization. Here we, as we usually do, we have been engaging with Treasury and other stakeholders in the process of putting together the budget to be accepted from the minister. So as far as we want to say that as is required by law, indeed we were consulted in the process and by and large we agree with some of the issues that were presented by the minister. But I would want to bring to the attention of the committee some few points that are very pertinent and points that remain, you know, of concern to us as the representative body of local government. So the issue basically was just about the few slides and I'll give a background and then comment on what was presented by the minister as the recommendation. And then to raise just a couple of issues, and then members can endeavor this presentation and I'll be glad to confirm the questions at the end. Macroeconomic realities that their country is currently facing,
the high level of unemployment, you know, slow economic growth, the increasing debt of the state, and the fact that some of these, you know, issues affect directly people that are served by union funding, especially when we talk of indigenous households. And some of these macro factors are what then inform, you know, our engagement with the Financial Fiscal Commission, with COFPA and National Treasury, you know, in these various, you know, platforms where we meet, you know, as these entities, especially at the budget forum that was in September 2015. We presented, you know, our cases, and some of the issues that we raised, you know, were attended to positively, but there are several integration, you know, items that still need to be discussed. And it was immediately after the election, you know, that FALCA, it is required by our constitution, we convened late in November, you know, in a national elective conference, you know, that they elected, you know, the leadership that we currently have as the organization. But also the conference pronounced itself on a number of things, you know, some of which, you know, was an acknowledgement that some positive strides, you know, have been made by the sector, you know, during the previous term, and that there is a positive trajectory, you know, that is beginning to emerge around the year of local government. And that says this is evident, amongst others, the positive trajectory members, by various reports that have been published about this year, amongst which is the financial and non-financial transfer report that was done by Statistics South Africa, which gives a clear indication of the services being delivered by union funds in terms of houses being built, you know, roads being fixed, you know, water, electricity and other services being, you know, brought, you know, for the benefit of the people. And the open delivery broadly is what that report, you know, talks about, and it's freely available. We can provide it to members should it be requested. The quarterly reports that are usually published by Treasury in terms of the Finance Management Act also indicate that there's more compliance at the local level with the framework being put, with the reporting requirements being put, but also just in part complying with laws, MFA in particular. There is that trend emerging from those reports. The Auditor General as well, you know, in the past, you know, 5 years has been reporting an incremental progress in terms of municipalities being able to account for the finances that they get, being, you know, getting the so-called unqualified or clean audit, and that, which is important, members, for us, is the fact that the AG says 80% of the budget that goes to local government is spent by municipalities that have received clean audit. Now, that is significant for us, because it says, as the CA, we're not only requesting more allocation, but also incrementally we're able to account, you know, for those resources, and, you know, there is evidence of where the money is going. And of course, members, there are incidents where we can pick up cases of fraudulent expenditure, you know, irregular expenditure, unauthorized expenditure. But what encourages us, you know, as the organization, is the fact that the AG says in 50% of cases, you know, where those issues are picked up, there is clear evidence demonstrated by human policies, you know, where they have been able to hold officials accountable. So there is consequent punishment, you know, in the sector. And we are encouraging other municipalities as well to implement those arrangements. And besides noting all these positive developments, the conference in discussing matters of finance to come closer home made a number of observations and resolved upon others on the following. That there is still, you know, remaining need for alternative revenue instruments to be found for the sector so as to enhance the financial viability of municipalities. We are worried that some municipalities, their state of financial health is not, you know, a good one. That measures, again, must be found urgently to arrest and deal, you know, thoroughly with the ever-increasing debt
which covers still the 117 billion, but what is supposed to be owed, you know, by households, by government entities, and by business. And we can watch this figure ballooning. It has got severe and severe implications, you know, for the balance sheet of municipalities, their credit rating, and their financial health broadly. That is, municipalities, you know, need to constantly increase their capacity to manage their cash flow issues, both in terms of how they deal with debtors and creditors. We, as I said, we know instances where municipalities can't pay, you know, their creditors, such as Eskom and many others. And we would not want to, I think, just emphasize Eskom. There's a couple of other, you know, creditors that municipalities have not been able to pay, besides Eskom and Water Board. And we're saying that has got to change. Municipalities must live up to their obligations, and they must pay their, you know, creditors. But equally important is the necessity for municipalities to collect what they are owed, you know, by everyone else, including all of us. The various engagements and interventions, you know, made by Treasury, made by other, you know, stakeholders and ourselves, you know, in trying to assist municipalities to find sustainable solutions in terms of how they deal with Eskom, you know, issues, it is very important. I can tell members that there is an interministerial, you know, task team established, chaired by the Minister of Costa, where Treasury, Department of Energy, and Eskom, you know, and SALTA, you know, all participate, you know, as equals and trying to find, you know, sustainable solutions. We have said, you know, as the organization, that the current arrangement of Eskom just cutting off municipalities is not sustainable. It could generate money for Eskom in the short term, but in the long term, you know, it cripples municipalities and it affects negatively other stakeholders who might be paying for their services. As to why municipalities are not paying, it's an issue that we can entertain and address. And we've made, as the organization, detailed submissions and proposals in terms of what solution, you know, must be considered and how the matter between municipalities and Eskom needs to be resolved. We note as well that in terms of our revenue, you know, strategy in working with municipalities, we do have some limitations in that there's quite a number of people who are able to service all their other accounts except the municipal account. And in that regard, we've been engaging with the Subsistence Revenue Services to say, shouldn't we have an arrangement where municipalities have got access, you know, to some of their databases and say, this gentleman here or lady has got, you know, a salary, so therefore, you know, she should be able to pay, you know, the municipal account. But also would want to process, you know, working with the DBSA in the presidency, an arrangement where, for instance, we extend the current, you know, arrangement where if you are working for a municipality or you are a councillor, you can't be indebted to the municipality for more than 3 months. You know, there must be an intervention that you pay somehow. Now, we are saying because we all benefit from the same fiscal, you know, why shouldn't that arrangement be extended to all state employees? That so long as you work for government in whatever capacity, you know, your municipal bill must be up to date and must be consistently, you know, serviced. We will continue. We did present last time to the committee that we had conducted a study in partnership with the Finance and Fiscal Commission that looked at various, you know, services that municipalities are providing. And what we wanted to check with the FSC was how much does it cost a municipality to provide electricity, to provide water, to provide sewer services, and so on. And we contrasted, you know, what it costs, you know, with the current, you know, allocation in the equitable share. And we raised this, and we've shared this in the study with the Treasury. We were saying the current equitable share formula is not entirely there, but it may need to be updated, taking into consideration some of the issues highlighted by that study. And again, that document is available, and it could be shared, you know, with members. The last issue that we also noted was the need to fund, you know, small municipalities and districts differently. All studies done up to this point seem to indicate that some districts, without, you know, increased, you know, funding, they are just not, you know, viable on their own. That also includes some of the small municipalities. And we have been consistent as well in saying that the arrangement to deal with those instances through the demarcation arrangement is not a good one in a subsidy, because issues of financial help and financial viability need to be understood holistically beyond the demarcation, you know, arrangement. Now, more specifically about the budget presented by the minister, we want to acknowledge upfront, you know, the work that was done by the treasurer team, you know, under very difficult and trying circumstances. We said that we have not been given everything that was requested in the budget, but we're happy that it's opening up, you know, avenues for long-term, you know, viability of municipalities through targeting spending or allocation to poor and rural municipalities. And somewhere in the presentation, I do make a reference to the fact that poor municipalities, you know, though they are getting more from the fiscal than your urban centers and metros, but still, that funding is just not adequate for a number of reasons. But before I get to that, let me talk about the FFC. There's the division of revenue proposals that we published by the FFC. We have engaged, you know, we with the commission. They had presented to the Falga Leadership and Falga Conference on some of the issues that they are raising. And we've noted, you know, all the positive, you know, issues highlighted in that report. In particular, chapter 8, that talks about the financing of rural municipalities for rural development, you know, and we agree with the court for better financing and the review of the current, you know, financing instrument. Chapter 9, which talks about transfers to district municipalities, you know, again for rural development. We've noted that, and it is, you know, an issue that we keep on engaging COCTA about and treasure, you know, how districts play a role strategically to support, you know, those municipalities under their jurisdiction or the same areas that may not be well, you know, resourced and capacitated. One item that we think members may want to note is that of fund eviction and how in particular it affects, you know, rural municipalities, where for example the funding, you know, under the disaster grant, you know, exclude, you know, the fact or the dynamic that once people have been evicted, it's usually the owners of the municipality to find alternative accommodation. And when that happens, those municipalities are usually caught, you know, off guard because they have not budgeted, you know, for that kind of an arrangement. And how therefore, you know, the budget, you know, supports those municipalities that are under pressure to accommodate those evicted people. You know, it's an issue that we feel strongly about that it needs to be addressed. We noted, I only want to repeat, remember, what was already stated by the minister, that is in the document, but we've noted some of the issues that are raised in the budget proposal. You know, particularly the fact that the local government, as it has been the case over the past 3-4 years, you know, still gets only 9.1% from the fiscal. And we have made a point that that can't be adequate, you know, for this year, and that better allocation, you know, needs to be made. The fact that, again, the amount that I have made, that currently the tax rate of the country is such that 70%, you know, of the total income tax is collected largely from the metropolitan and urban centers. But those municipalities get from the fiscal about 31%. Yet, you know, small municipalities, you know, rural ones in particular, you know, also get 31% from the transfer to the thing, to them, though they collect or generate less, far less than the metropolitan area. This slide just gives an indication of, you know, conditional grants and the equitable share per household that is spent, you know, and members note that the bulk of the money goes to rural municipalities, you know, followed by small towns, and then large towns, secondary cities, and metro. You know, it's an ascending scale. I guess this would be point that of me talking more specifically about the equitable share. But local government and treasury, this is the point they keep on making, that local government is the fastest growing, you know, sphere in terms of transfers and allocations. That local government gets about 8.6, whereas provinces get 7.5, and national departments get, you know, 6.9. But without breaking down, you know, that those averages, those percentages, one could be misled into believing that there's more money going to municipalities until you understand that, for instance, the conditional grants have been reduced drastically by about 2.5 billion, and the equitable share, you know, has only just been given a nominal increase of 5.1 billion based on the 2.3, you know, percent household growth projection. So those points, we raise them with Treasury. But again, if you were to look at the details, they say the details, we are always in the details. If you look at the details of the equitable share allocation to local government, it's only 5%. And 3% of those are conditional grants. 1% is on the fuel levy, you know, that is given to MESCOs, and 1%, you know, is indirect transfer. Now, it can be correct that local government just getting that 5% if you take out the grant and everything else. Because technically that's what it is. I was talking about the registration in the budget. The minister did speak about game changer, you know, in programming the budget. And we support all of those. You know, we support the four, you know, game changers that we identified. The first one being the implementation or coming into effect of the standard charge of account, you know, coming into effect on the 1st of July. We are meeting with our treasury colleagues because already we're getting red flags from some municipalities that they may not be even ready come 1st of July to implement that standard charge of account. And we said to treasury that we're closely in monitoring all these municipalities, their province. But also we said, Treasury must invest more time, you know, in building capacity among councillors so that they are able to oversight, you know, the introduction of MSCOA. You know, that's the first thing. So we support that, and provincial departments as well, you know, through Section 154, must play their role, you know, in making sure that municipalities are monitored, you know, and supported accordingly. The improvement in the supply chain, you know, management arrangement. Falco made a contribution, you know, through, again, partnership with treasury in making sure that service providers at local government are all registered in the supplier database, but also that municipalities, you know, do improve their supply chain, you know, practices, and were engaging around supply chain reform, you know, that would be brought, you know, to local government. We agree that's a huge, you know, game changer for the sector. The revenue management, you know, improved revenue management is another game changer that was, you know, identified by the minister. And there we talk about cost-reflective tariffs. We talk about clear budgetary, you know, projections and cash management broadly. But also that item relates to the financial, you know, health of the employees, how they can leverage their, you know, balance sheet to raise more money, but also new revenue instruments that the sector, you know, should consider so that they are better resourced and not just relying on the national fiscal. Then the last game changer, you know, identified by the minister, which we also welcome, was improvements around the asset management, but also the notion that the municipalities must spend at least 8% of their budget, you know, to deal with the maintenance and the refurbishment of the infrastructure assets. We think those are important, and we will contribute in making sure that municipalities do develop the capacity to manage those four areas. The issue towards conclusion that I would want to flag amongst others are the following members. Firstly, the recommendations made on the cost of these services, you know, that I alluded to, you know, that's done by FALCA and FFC, is a matter of urgency for us. You know, it does need to be understood, it does need to be taken up. So there's a big debate with how the equitable share, you know, should be reviewed. We will use that study as our departure point, you know, and they will seek to retain those positive elements in the current, you know, equitable share formula, but also introduce new ones, you know, that are the ones in that study. The point again made about 9.1 that we're getting as the sector, the question has always been how much do we want as the sector? And we're saying now that we have, you know, some scientific research done, you know, let's look at those issues, you know, that we have left in the cost of these services done and make sure that the sector is being allocated resources accordingly. The point about municipalities that are financially and economically unviable, it is an issue that we note. We have raised this, you know, previously with the demarcation board, we have raised this with COPTA, that the arrangement to just amalgamate municipalities doesn't convince us that it's the best solution to deal with issues of unviability. Because so far we've seen that even those municipalities that we amalgamated are still struggling. And we would want to raise, you know, the cost that the 17.5 million, you know, allocated to support the amalgamation process is just, you know, not adequate. You know, there's so many challenges in those areas, and they could end up being crippled by the enormity, you know, of the issues that they need to deal with after having been amalgamated. The arrangement between, you know, Treasury, NERFA, and especially around how NERFA, you know, grants licenses, you know, and how they approve target increases, you know, it's an issue, you know, that is of serious concern to us. We do suspect that to some extent there are issues that may not be necessarily constitutional in how NERFA, you know, grants licenses to ESCOM and to others, you know, outside, you know, the requirements, you know, articulated in the constitution and the there. And that the last point that we made is that of the need to find, you know, long-term solutions to the increasing debt, which stands at 117 billion. It's one item that our conference pronounced upon. It's one issue that the NEC is considering seriously to say what are the models, you know, are there technologies that could be deployed, what else other than just writing off that debt could be done. Either expedite, you know, collection or find measures of keeping it, you know, at a reasonable level, you know, so that it's not ballooning because of old unsustainable interest, you know, certain age. That is the gist, members, of our submission, that yes, we support the budget and we've noted the issues proposed by the minister and treasury, but two, we have issues that we have raised, you know, as the voice of local government that needs attention by all of us, you know, so that maybe going to the budget forum this year, we would, you know, at least agree on how we all move forward in attending to the challenges that still remain in the sector. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Simpiwe Zangwa, for presenting Salga's views on the division of revenue, and I think the you have taken us through the presentation quite clearly. I like the pie chart that you making a point here that only 9.1% is allocated to the municipality, to local government sphere of government rather. But also you are making specific recommendations in the conclusion. I think, remember, there are a few areas where recommendations are made that Salga is proposing that the committee should reconsider its progress to allocate space. For instance, they say that Salga will be conducting thorough costing exercise on the recent demarcation and present findings at the 2017 budget forum, and that they urge the committee to conduct public hearings in this area. I think they are making that definite suggestion, and also their engagement with National Treasury and COPTA for better financial dispensation of local government, this will be very interesting. And the ongoing work with FFC on the review of equitable share, that there are some aspects of equitable share that SALGA argues that they must be reviewed. So I'll give over to members just to comment or raise specific questions if SALGA has to clarify some of their conclusions for this report. Thanks. Honorable Dalupin, Honorable Dalbraj, and okay, that's a set round.
Good morning, colleagues. Maybe to recover that I shared part of it, note that we don't have that presentation. And these are just comments and issues that parents need clarification. You know, in your background, these slides are not numbered, but it's a slide that talks about the increasing state debt, high unemployment levels, large numbers of Indian households. My point of concern is only on the increasing debt, state debt. Last week we were dealing with the framework and we were told that the debt is not increasing nor decreasing. But you are making here a point that the debt is increasing. And the spirit in terms of debt ceiling and all that, if you could reflect on it, because I don't want us to be speaking in two terms or three terms. Now, I am also concerned about the large number of indigent households. Somewhere in Tswane and Johannesburg, the two cities, there was a discovery that the manner in which we review the indigent register is not that well managed, and care has not been given, and quite a substantial examples were given where people were found to have erred in terms of, you know, updating and reviewing. And I'm sure that's an area that helps municipalities to sustain, and that helps municipalities also to collect revenue from those who are able to do it. But if you don't review it, and you don't concentrate on it, and politicians or parties picks it up and begin to say this thing is not well managed, should be a concern for SALGA. On the other slide, you spoke about the AG's report and consequence management, and you gave a figure. I'm not sure what is the figure, 50% or whatever, I'm not sure. But it is increasing that municipalities are beginning to hold people accountable for their actions in terms of your consequence management. To what extent are we exposing these individuals who are involved in these irregular activities and begin to blacklist them so that they don't get employment in other spheres of government? Though the chairperson had commented on the findings, your recommendation from conference, if I read it, well, you must pardon me. I'm not so early writing records, but if you resolve, you've got a definite direction that you would want people to take. Now, if you resolve on a finding that, for example, I'll make an example. In your recommendations, you find there should be finding for alternative revenue instruments. Now, to me, it's not a resolution. A resolution would propose what is it that's supposed to be done, so that as a committee we are empowered to say this is the direction that SALGA would want to take in terms of revenue collection. And these are the new measures that they are proposing. It goes to quite a number of proposals that we are making in terms of your resolution. My other area of interest is maybe you may shed light like you did on the demarcation and the amalgamation of municipalities. Amalgamated or not, I beg your pardon.
No,
I'm not asking a question. And then speech. I'm not rounding up. I'm going to speak more.
Yeah, no.
On issues that I would want explanation on. And honorable Esther, you know, I dealt with you on Friday and not sure that you are not satisfied. I'm still
thinking. Can you focus on dealing with SALGA issues?
I am focusing on them, but I'm being distracted and I'm not protected. Now, on issues that...
Let's see what protection means. Focus on SALGA. Don't focus on honorable Esther.
On the demarcation process, you're speaking about the amalgamation of municipalities, that it is not addressed. Even after the amalgamation, the municipalities still find themselves in the same situation. Now, the question is, what is it that is supposed to be done? Because you are saying demarcation and amalgamation of municipalities is not the solution. What is it that SALGA then proposes? Because looking into the socio-economic conditions and other aspects, municipalities were made so that they become financially viable. And if that option doesn't work, what is it that we are proposing? Yeah. On your response to FFC recommendations. You know, it is important that this is just a comment. And you highlighted it, that farm evictions is a concern. And you said it may be a concern for the committee. Indeed. And Comrade Esther, Honorable Esther will agree with me that it is important that we expedite the Land Expropriation Act and stop opposing it so that people are not evicted easily from where they stay and where they live and where their roots can be traced. It's just a comment. Chair, thanks. Let me leave the others for other honorable members. Thank you very much.
Thanks, honorable chairperson.
Chairperson, thank you. I think we are all aware that local government is maybe, you know, the most, in the eyes of the community, the most important sphere of government, because obviously that is people and the environment that is dealing with their daily life. But unfortunately, I think it's also a fact that, you know, in general, obviously we have excellent local authorities in this country. But unfortunately, you know, I think it's also true that that is also the worst performing sector of government at the moment. And I was just wondering, the gentleman, you know, mentioned that now owed two local authorities, and, you know, I'm just wondering, is it maybe because, you know, that they're not proper, they don't have proper systems and things in place there, that they don't do their connections properly. Because really, you know, obviously nobody else is going to do it for them. The amalgamation of local authorities, you know, I am aware and I've met with people where that was done. Quite often you find that people are saying that, yes, it's been amalgamated now, but some of the communities then feel that the service is even not at a good level yet. I think a lot can be done. It's not only about money that needs to be appropriated. I think it's about the management of this local authority and how it's done. I think a lot can be done by jacking up the performance of this local authority. And I think SALGA must also, you know, indicate to us at some stage what do they intend to get, you know, their house in order to ensure that, you know, the citizens are going to get a proper service. Yes, it could obviously be debated, equitable share and things like that, and I'm glad to learn that that is going to be a thing. But my concern is proper management, they need to be in control, that people really get the service that they deserve. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mandel and Honorable Kibir.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. You know, Chair, and maybe you can pose as a question. This amount owed to the municipality serving, my colleague Oki I think a bit smile. I wanted to ask a question that state ECHO has taken a very strong posture to even start to switch on municipalities. Is there no mechanism? What mechanisms are there to deal with this? Because we see year in, year out, Chair, we receiving this thing about municipalities being owned by government entities. But we don't normally hear what is the plan except sitting and persuading and persuading. Are there no options really to deal with them? I know, is there a work that is going on in trying to deal with this matter? But also, Chair, you know, we're talking 9.1 and the breakdown that SALGA has made, but and also the review and proposals on the equitable share. But do we know for sure, Chair, in terms of the percentage to the GDP of the local government revenue to the GDP, the percentage that to the GDP. So we are able to, I mean, to deal with the proper quantifications. Otherwise, it looks like we would be saying 9.1. And you know, from where I see municipalities taking a posture that says it's only what is allocated from the national fiscal that is the economy or is the budget of the municipality. So I think to get that as a key point for them to survive and for them to do anything. And yet there is this assumption, Chair, that is made that municipalities are collecting their own revenue for their own survival, that the national fiscal is a top up to what they are allowed to develop their own revenue. So I think it's a message that also SALGA, you know, I don't know if they are grappling with that, or they, for now, the key point is just let's bargain as much as we can in terms of the national fiscal allocation. So I think it's quite important that we unpack that part as well. Quite critical for the committee. I think as part of that recommendation that they are making with the public hearing, is something that we must also zoom into as a committee. to look at that. Besides the efficiencies that they're supposed to be mastering as a local government, because I think they are bleeding a lot there as well. So their case gets weakened on even this part of 9.1%. Thank you, Chair. And then obviously, Chair, also, I don't know what the engagement with them. I just came back from a budget speech of my province, KZN, last Tuesday, where as part of their budget, they have budgeted for the departments and their public entities to pay local government municipalities. Hence, I'm making that point that are they engaged, it's not just at the budget council level nationally, but also looking at the provinces themselves, because they are responsible for the payment of departments to municipalities for their services that they are receiving. So do we really take serious interest and have engaged quite seriously at a provincial level with those to be treasured in soliciting allocations for payment of public entities, provincial public entities, debt as such. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Honourable Dimande. Honourable Dibier.
Thank you, Chairperson, and we appreciate the presentation. On page 63, Chairperson, in the Division of Revenue Bill, it captures the process of consultation, developing the budget, referring to the Division of Revenue and funds allocated. Budget forum is the structure the SALGA serves on and is now meeting twice a year. So this matter about the 9.1% will have to be dealt with the budget forum, but seeing that we are going to provinces doing briefings and having public hearings, that SALGA also attend those public hearings in provinces and make that input on this point, following the route through this structure as the Select Committee for Appropriations. Again, on municipalities, Chairperson, it would be good to get a feedback report of the program followed by COCTA and National Treasury in assisting local government municipalities in terms of their financial management, etc., captured under the Back to Basics program. We had such a meeting last year. I think it would be applicable that we have a follow-up to see what progress has been made. Also, if we could get a list of provincial national departments owing municipalities money. This is the structure, the Select Committee, to address that matter at this level, but take it then also back to our provinces. Example, Richtersveld municipality is owed by three provincial departments an enormous amount of money. When we took it up with the provincial MEC for finance, the acting HLD for finance, to be sorted out. Lastly, Chair, the whole issue of ESCOM and municipalities owing ESCOM, I think it will also be helpful if we could call ESCOM and SALGA and we sit around the table and get us a way forward. There were interactions between municipalities and ESCOM, yes. But that thing is occurring annually now, every year. And let us as Parliament address this matter. And it's not so difficult. When a municipality gets revenue through electricity being paid, it must appear in the income statement as a revenue. But immediately go out in the expenditure statement, we owe this to ESCOM. Now what is so difficult? So the CFO of that municipality is going to do that, perform that function, and in terms of the MFMA, the mayor must oversee that, because it's his responsibility as mayor in terms of the act, as well as the finance committee of the municipality. And that has to be overseen every 30 days. Yes. So that's my input, sir.
Thank you very much, Mr. Tim Kiewit. I think what I want to indicate from the chair is that we planning to have a public hearing on the division of revenue on the 2nd of May. On the 2nd of May, and I think what we want also is we considering what are the issues that members are raising. It may well be good to invite ESCOM to make its own presentation in our public hearing, and that this serves as an invitation to Salaka as well to come and deal with specific matters that you want to raise, because we want to be as practical as possible in understanding the state of affairs as it relates to what the division of revenue, because it's an allocation of resources trying to solve what problem. You are saying the total resource allocation from when you compare national, CA, provincial, and local government. Local government get a share of a certain percentage, of course, including other allocations through the form of grants and so forth and so forth. For instance, at times the issue is raised that municipalities or some municipalities are struggling to implement MIG, that their municipalities are struggling to implement MIG. We'll be interested to say what support you providing as well. And of course, come up here, there are municipalities struggling to implement MIG. Also, at times, National Treasury makes a point to say, at times, it is not about the formula, equitable share formula. It is about the application of the rural or rural municipalities unable to apply the formula to get what is necessary for basic service delivery. So we would like you to enhance our understanding so that we draw distinction municipalities that function well exhaust whatever resources that are available, despite that what are the challenges that are arising, and the municipalities that are trying to apply the formula. And also even to delve on the issue of the, because emphasis was made, national, I think was the presentation of the 2015 budget, that metro municipalities will focus more on also on economic development or economic development strategies, also to enhance revenue collection. There's a distinction between that, because you have made some innovative ideas to say how do you view government officials and so forth and so forth, what should be some kind of an enforcement in terms of all those who are beneficiaries of service should be accountable for paying for service. So I'm in a way saying we would like also, because we really need to deal with this thing. When we say that there's an increase in debt standing at 117 billion and the situation is worsening rather than this debt decreasing. So we'd like to have a sense in terms of how, what constitutes this and how do we deal with these issues. Of course, without acknowledging that there are sector departments and there are other portfolio committees that deal with these matters, but we're interested in the financial stage so much that at least we use this public hearing not as a routine, but more as an ongoing platform for dialogue and shifting some of the issues that we need to find answers. So in a way, I think we say there are some of the issues if we are not able to respond adequately to, we may even as well in sending some of the specific areas that we want to discuss further with you, Salga. But also in this instance, invite the president of Salga at some point to say, because this is a platform, we want to use our intergovernmental sphere space here in the National Council of Provinces so that we deal with issues in the provinces. And then please, you will be privy now to all provincial budgets as well that are presented. And you will dissect provincial budgets and try to make sense of what is emerging, what is the trend out of all provincial budgets, and how do we move forward. Thanks. Thanks.
Chair, thanks very much. Let me try and point to a couple of issues that were raised by members. We do upfront wish to say that we would honor the invitation and we can come back with more detailed information on some of the issues that were raised by members. But nevertheless, let me just give a high level response to some of the issues that were raised. Yes, honorable members, you remember that at some point, you know, our budget had a surplus. Increasingly, over the past, you know, 3-4 years, we've been borrowing. And Treasurer does say upfront that the extent of our national borrowing to meet national, you know, funding requirements is not sustainable at a level where it is. The interest that we're paying on debt is huge, and those are resources that have been better channeled elsewhere, you know, for national development purposes. So the point basically is that in the current context, how we spend money becomes very important. The quality of our spending, so that government doesn't borrow money and then we don't spend it to return, and we have to pay interest on money that we didn't spend. So as the sector, you know, actually all of us as government, we are therefore enjoined, you know, by an urgent need to jack up our skills on how we spend, you know, resources, but also how we manage, you know, our terminal program. We wouldn't want to ever come to get a situation where we are so indebted to an extent that
our policies are extending our energy, our national interest. The allocations that go to local government, we make the call for increases quite mindful of the conducting interest, you know, the national health system, the fees, issues, child issues, housing, everything, and we know that there are all of issues. But all of us then, you know, we can't be hearing, you know, protect the regular experience and all of us in being a peaceful victim so that there is a clear intent on the money that is invested. Yes, there are consequences, and this is the AG saying, you know, there's not that wherever they have picked up, you know, issues of unauthorized protest and the regular expenditure, they would then ask what has happened. Well, evident that, you know, council took a decision against a particular official, and what has happened. You know, there are quite a number of cases, you know, that are being investigated by the SIU. There are quite a number of, you know, cases where people have either been suspended or they've lost their jobs. We will then provide a list or a sense, you know, of this, but the 2015 was the general process in a 50% of cases, but what they have found that there are consequences for what is happening. Revenue instruments, yes, that's an important issue, and we talked about it at the conference, but the nature of the resolutions that they get crafted in a broad, you know, manner, so that at an execution level we could, you know, investigate and experiment with a number of instruments. And already, you know, we are talking about some of these
for friends, even before the conference, we're working with quite a number of municipalities around Gauteng, you know, to test what is called pooled funding, where a couple of municipalities join, you know, their balance sheet, you know, for an infrastructure program that could benefit all of them. Whereas if they were to try it as individual municipalities, their balance sheet would definitely help them. And we had gone from the fence in making sure that, you know, that instrument is understood and that municipalities are participating. Over the, actually, since last year, between December and February, we ran again two courses, one in partnership with the Nepal Business Foundation, you know, and Young, trying to expose municipalities to triple P's. And we did a similar, you know, intervention exposing municipalities to triple P's in partnership with the Japanese Development Agency and the University of Pretoria. Again, that's another, you know, method of trying to put about infrastructure. In October, honorable members, we would again invite municipalities, you know, to take them through bonds. How do you go about putting a bond, especially at the metro and the secondary city level? You know, how do you go about it? What skills are necessary? What is involved? And we were always discussing that with Treasury and the Development Bank and COFDA to say they must join forces with us. We would gladly share the stage with them. But also just for small towns, I'm not sure if members are aware of the work that we've been doing. Again, part of our revolution, but also ongoing work around the small town regeneration. You know, those old mining towns, small municipalities, you know, that we've been meeting with, you know, to expose them to better planning instruments, but also to say, how do you leverage tourism for friends in a small town? How do you use facilities and assets that you already have, you know, to generate living, improve the economy in your space, but also create jobs and in turn people are able, you know, to pay. The amalgamation issue, it's again a discussion that's ongoing. We asked the question, you know, what is a viable municipality? And when a municipality is not viable, you know, what are the characteristics? And therefore, what do you do, you know, with those municipalities? You know, we have a report that talks to those issues that we will publish jointly again with the FFC, COFDA, and Treasury, where we met in a colloquium to discuss these issues. But remember that in the Deco Basics program, there's three quadrants, you know, of municipalities. The first one being municipalities, one said that are generally doing okay. You know, they can run on their own, they generate their revenue, they've got capacity, and so on. The second one being a category that is fairly getting there, but does need monitoring. You know, then the third one is what Costa calls dysfunctional and unviable category. And it is that third category that Costa previously proposed that they must be amalgamated and or other changes be effected. And we are saying it's difficult, you know, in that we're talking about people here. The municipality may not be viable for a number of reasons. Say, for example, there's no tax base, there's no industry in the area, you know, so therefore people can't, you know, even afford services that they want from their municipality. So how you deal with those who are saying, let's rather consider the like holistically, because the point that I raised, remember, is true, that the current imports are not viable, but also after amalgamating them, you know, they will remain still unviable, so you are just compounding the problem. So I think perhaps let's engage and reflect, you know, for the kind of those people, not just jump to the demarcation instrument. Because again, even with that one, previously we had more than 1,000 municipalities. We reduced the number to 843. That was further reduced until we had 284 municipalities. Currently we are sitting at 257 municipalities. How many municipalities are we going to have? And what would be the best model? There is a conceptual, you know, discussion document that was presented by COFDA at MINMEC to re-examine some of the B and C category municipalities. For example, argument is that there might be instances where we have just a district municipality out locals under it. You know, what would that take or entail in terms of the structure of it? Or there could be instances where you take one category of municipality, they expand its money to cover what a district municipality cannot do in a particular place. So you might have a varying model, you know, but doctor will have to bring, you know, those proposals to the house. I have a different view. Yes, it's positive or not. Why? Are not necessarily good and perfect. Yes, there are still challenges that are, you know, are remaining. But I may have a different view to the one that says local government is the worst performing, you know, sphere. I'm not sure. I don't think there's a study that's been done, you know, around those issues to back up for instance that argument. But let's look at the sector, you know, at the on its own. Because sometimes, for example, when the AG publishes a report, we all give attention, local government, for class expenditure, this and that and that. But you don't get that same attention when it comes to province and national departments. So I wouldn't necessarily say, therefore, in part of our web. Yes, there are instances where there's much room for improvement, but there are also cases where in part of that doing, you know, well. The debt issue has been raised, you know, in a couple of instances. Yes, we do have a list who owns what to municipalities. Yes, there are government entities, and we've said to municipalities, implement your debt management or your credit control policies. If government is not paying, you know, cut them off. You know, if your policy says, you know, with all the sensitivity, of course, so you can't just cut off hospitals and others. But we have engaged with the premier, we've engaged with all provinces on this matter. But even more than that, there's an instruction from cabinet, you know, that all government entities must pay. And the deadline was October last year. But all, you know, state entities that own municipalities should have paid. And as well as proactively, we're working with Treasury and the Department of Public Works to go around in all municipalities verifying their debt. And there are instances where Public Works has paid close to $1 billion of that amount, but also there's about $4 billion that's still owed, you know, where Public Works has said, we don't have this money in the budget. And provinces don't take responsibility as well. Hence the example made that some provinces are proactively budgeting, you know, for that. It's coming out of that arrangement. The ESCOM issue, it's a worrying one. And I would appreciate, Chair, if we were to be invited with ESCOM so that we can present on this matter in detail. We've raised a number of issues. And let me say that from that as well, we are also concerned, you know, maybe that's what I need to share with this colleague. We're also concerned by what seems to be coming up from a couple of provinces. Mpumalanga, I think the same case is going that route, where premiers have made pronouncements that municipalities must give over to ESCOM the electricity regulation, you know, function. We have a problem with that. We feel strongly that it will be unconstitutional because the role of electricity regulation belongs to local government. ESCOM, yes, can render the service only through a service delivery agreement with the municipality. And I hope you could ask ESCOM what has been difficult for them to sign those service delivery agreements, you know, with municipalities, because we've stated the matter and they've been ducking and diving. But two, the other interesting, you know, bit about this that members we want to think about, there are areas where ESCOM provides electricity. And in those areas, municipalities have been unable to levy such charges like they do in their own regulated areas. Now, if you can calculate how much municipalities have been losing out of that, you know, it will come to billions because electricity is one major revenue source for local government. So there's a whole range of issues that need to be dealt with and attended to, you know, when it comes to ESCOM issues. The fact that municipalities owing ESCOM again needs to be understood, you know, in the context where you use electricity council can function, get social, so you don't generate revenue. So if it were to ring fence and give over to ESCOM everything that he has collected, it would still come less than the ESCOM bill for a particular month. One, secondly, the fact that up to this point, ESCOM submits bills to municipalities after 15 days. Day 16, if they have not paid, you know, they punish you with interest. Now, remember, municipalities work on an FMMA basis. That is, they collect only after 30 days, or they pay after 30 days. So already there's a complication then, you know. And then, when you don't pay, ESCOM charges you fine plus 5%. And we're saying, is that necessary? Aren't we punishing municipalities here and crippling them? But also there's this issue of a technical one, like they notify monthly money. Government says, here is space in municipality, how much electricity are you going to get from ESCOM? 100 kilowatts, for example. Now, ESCOM says, what if you need more? So rather buy 110, you know, and if municipality uses 101, ESCOM charges as if they have used 110. The municipality doesn't use it, ESCOM still punishes them. Now, you have your situation of a notified monthly money arrangement, and then human settlement puts up new houses. All of a sudden, those houses have to have electricity. And because they are providing electricity, ESCOM then penalizes you. You have to pay. That's why the debt in the state in particular. Because the non-financial stuff done by SSA, the state is the number one problem in terms of housing delivery. And that's why those municipalities have been punished every now and again by ESCOM, because they can't, you know, keep up to the notified maximum demand arrangement. But as I'm saying, Chair, we have a detailed submission on this issue. The technical team on ESCOM issue and municipalities has been meeting, and we've been exchanging documents, and we can share those, you know, with the committee, and we can come back and make a detailed submission, you know, addressing all the issues between ESCOM, you know, and municipalities. We've been, again, looking at improving green systems. We're not just looking at the fact that municipalities are not, you know, collecting. But we've been talking about green systems, we've been talking about revenue, you know, strategies. But then I need to remember also as well that our systems are skewed against small municipalities. You may want a qualified engineer or a qualified planner or something CFO. You're not going to attract, you know, a chartered accountant to a small rural municipality. You may do that in a metro. So the skills base that then some of these areas that are struggling, it is something that we should be looking at. Let me make a concluding point around the grants and how we spend on them. One of the issues in the division of revenue is the municipal improvement grants, the NFIG. Currently, municipalities have got to apply to COFDA and then indicate through a business plan what it is that they are going to do. And some will. Some who may need that money would not apply because they don't even have sometimes capacity to just make that business plan and submit it. Now, as Councillor was saying, in the process of engaging with Parliament, we may want to ask a question that says, shouldn't SALGA be allowed in the division of revenue to also apply for that grant? If we pick up a situation where in a particular district, all these municipalities don't have systems to collect revenue, shouldn't SALGA take it as a responsibility and it be allowed through the DORA framework that we submit, you know, a request on behalf of all those municipalities? That's one issue, but also just on spending on some of the grants. Sometimes we made a round, engaging the Water General, engaging the Development Bank, engaging Treasury, on how municipalities, the network in particular, could be assisted to better spend on the housing development grant. So we're looking at all those issues, members, to find innovations and solutions to the challenges that we had articulated.
Thanks very much, Mr. Simpiwe. I think let's agree, honorable members.
issues that has been flagged here, you got an opportunity to substantively again raise issues during the public hearings. National Treasury is here, and I know that they are observing through the process of submission since the discussions on the DORA. So we'll have an interactive session on the 2nd when we'll give those as the advent will request for submission from the public bodies, those interested, and then we'll allow for the interactive session. I think what we must do on our part is just to try to secure the day so that we have ample time and then allow for structures that must respond after lunch to have adequate time to deal with these issues. So that, because we must go into details, I think. You have said that, if I quote what you said, you said the devil is in the detail. So we want to go into these details so that we just understand the extent of this debt, the implications, ESCOM, and so forth. Some suggestions that you are making. For instance, I mean, Salga's mandate is very expressed that we are representatives and of organized local government, and you articulate your views. What do you do with the last point? I like the last point to say, there are in districts and local municipalities that are incapacitated. But it has been known now, even the diagnostic report of NDP points out to glaring capacity issues that relate to local government. But how do we deal with them? Through budgeting process, are we able to capture those issues that resolve the problem so that we can go over through the vicious cycle without being prescriptive into what solutions we provide? But thanks for your presentation. We will extend the invitation, as we said, so that we deal adequately with all the issues. Thank you very much. Members, at this stage, I'll allow the secretary just to indicate set of minutes that we have to confirm in this meeting.
Okay, thank you, Sir President. Before considering the set of minutes, the next agenda item is the consideration of the draft report on Western Cape oversight visit. And then with respect to minutes, it will be minutes of the 8th of December 2016, minutes of a set of minutes of the 31st of January 2016, 21st February 2017, I'm sorry, the 31st January 2017, 23rd February 2017, 28th February 2017, and lastly 10th March 2017. Thank you.
Thank you. May I ask if members have the report from Saldana? You read the report? Okay. I don't understand now that the method of communication has changed. I see yes now, not only. My brother, you say you agree with the report?
You asked to go ahead with the report.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, at that time it was different. Your voice didn't come up. You were doing something. Okay, thank you. No, nothing really. You are saying that the report should be accepted?
No.
Okay. The report was read and members agree with the report. Move on.
Chair, I move. There will be a seconder.
Yes, seconder.
But I just request that on the recommendations, we would have to do a check in terms of what we recommend here. Has it been done to the different role players we met when we went to Saldana? It's the same principle as taking Parliament to the people. There must be the type of a follow-up to go and check. But did the following happen? Can we report back something? I'm just leaving it there. Thank you, Chair. Thank you for a quality report as well. Thank you.
Then there should be a way of follow-up. We agree with you. Systematic way of following up on our decisions so that the committee doesn't see this next year. We report frequently. on implementation of our decision. The report is agreed to. The first set of minutes, whoever is there. Yeah, just help us to go through quickly what was the book.
The agenda item for that particular day was three. Firstly, it was the consideration of the adjustment appropriation bill, the consideration of the finance bill, consideration of draft report on the 2016 MPDF report, and consideration of minutes. Yes, we will consider that on that particular day. That's after the report.
And we are present that I can entertain your comments. I'm saying you were in a meeting, Honorable Isaac, consideration of the finance bill, consideration of the draft report of MTVPS, and then we considered the minutes of previous meetings. Members, can I have indication if you... I have read the minutes and they are good reflection of the
discussion. I won't change.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. Let's move to the 31st January. Western Cape, Department of Local Government on Municipal Infrastructure Grant Performance in the province. And Honorable Isaac moves that we accept. Seconded, Honorable Bashuki. Thanks. The set of the 21st February.
The motion.
Budget briefing by Budget Office. That was the item. Thank you very much. Yes. 23rd February.
Chair, the only thing I was not absent. I was attending another meeting, as I said, in many committees. So there was an apology. Just that correction. Not absent.
Absent with apology.
Not absent with apology.
Yeah, absent. Yeah, there was an apology. Yeah, absent. Yeah, yes, absent is a key word. Yeah.
Now we try to find another.
Okay, who is moving that we accept the minutes? Okay, seconded by Honorable Mr.
Blanchard.
Honorable Mutashubing apologized for that he was absent as a result.
Okay, apologize.
Thank you. Then the meeting
on the 28th February was parliamentary budget office briefing on 2017 budget.
And this was a very interesting discussion. Members will recall, quite useful to ready us for the discussion on the budget documentation. So do we agree, Honorable Mutashubi, you are present?
Sure.
Absent again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I want to come back to your notion of absent.
No, I don't discuss that notion.
No,
so
I'm not
recording
the
absence.
Therefore,
yeah.
The
28.
I move to adoption.
Seconded by Honorable Deborah, thank you. There is no notion of something. On the 10th March, briefing by National Treasury and FFC. That's last week, Friday. Correct, Honorable Mr. and. Okay, no. Apologies are presented in advance and they can be recorded as such. Anything that requires our creativity not acceptable. Honorable members, any move for the 10th? Honorable Isaac moves, Honorable Douglas second. Thank you. On the date, can you just speak on the date? I just said the 2nd May is confirmed. This is what we want to forward to the House Chair. Members will recall, we are trying to find appropriate date because I think the 2nd week of May will be the pre-visit for Parliament to meet the people in the province of the Free State. So, early when we come back from the constituency, the 1st week, 2nd May, we would like to conduct our public hearing. No, the 1st week, 2nd, the 2nd week will be about the Parliament, in terms of program, framework, parliamentary program. No, the 2nd May, the 2nd of May, it will be our public hearing on the DORA.
In the program?
Here. Parliament here. That's the one that we say must ensure rather than day, rather than. Yes, thank you. And then the next week of the 9th, it will be when we adopt the committee report. What is it, Baba, to speak now?
Thank you, Chairperson. Before I go to the Chairperson, I think there's one issue that I must explain. Initially, we were approved to convene our public hearing on the 25th of April. But unfortunately, there's been a change in the parliamentary program. So I think that week now with the constituency bureau, so we have to move that day to the 2nd of May. So here's our public hearing on the 2nd of May. That would be 2nd of May, I think it's on
Tuesday,
I want to put a program in the last so that I communicate actually.
It's a long weekend. Very long weekend. A long, long weekend. Before we leave, while he's looking, before we leave the meeting, that we just confirm with you our briefing date in provinces on the Divisional Revenue Board.
Yes.
That is captured by the Secretary.
A briefing for the provinces.
On the issue of precinct date, remember initially we identified 30th and 31st, but unfortunately because I'm not sure that I've got an engagement during that season. So I understand that they have agreed with one or two provinces that they will proceed on those dates because there are two or three senior colleagues who are available to assist or that they are willing to sacrifice to go and assist, but I'm not sure which province is because remember for that exercise us, myself and FPL, we are not at the center of it because it's the POs who must liaise with provinces, set your dates, communicate to members and agree on that particular date and then thereafter it's then that the date is communicated to us for record purposes. Otherwise, there is nothing that we normally do about it except for record purposes and to know which province is being placed on which day. After that process, then the issue of the public hearings, and then now I'm coming back now to the program now. Public hearings, as we have indicated, on the 2nd, and then on the 3rd of March, we'll consider the negotiating mandate as communicated by provinces to our members.
No,
3rd of May, I'm sorry. 3rd of May.
Negotiating
mandate. Not finance, negotiating mandate on the day, just a day after the public hearing. And I understand on that date, the select committee is considering a legislation. But after they have adjourned, we will then consider those negotiating mandates. So it's a meeting that probably at most it might last us 15 to 20 minutes, if not less than 10 minutes.
Okay.
3rd of May, but. The Select Committee on Finance, they are sitting. So we sit after they have adjourned.
On the 2nd, we're having an appropriation in the Executive Council, we'll be having public hearings on
the that's correct.
And then on the 3rd, we'll have finance at 10 a.m., and you say directly after consider the negotiating mandate.
That's correct.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, but I'm getting time for myself.
Then the next meeting will be on Tuesday, 9th May. On that day, we'll consider the final mandate from provinces and the draft report that we have combined all the division of the nation bill for 2017. Then a week after, it will be the president's to 15, I understand. And then tentatively, because we have on that week of the 16th and 19th of May. Tentatively, we have identified 23rd of May as the date we will be receiving a briefing on the appropriation bill and adopting the report. I'm saying tentatively because the Standing Committee on Appropriation, they have not finalized their second term program. Remember, honorable members, it's them who deal extensively with the appropriation bill. As we, for example, ask, we deal extensively with the division of representatives. So we are going to depend on their program because we cannot touch that legislation unless they have finalized it and given the set to the NCOP and to us for consideration. So that 23rd is tentative, it might change, but because we are expected to submit a program, we identify that date and we submit it for approval, but if it needs be, then if you receive a different version as we go along, please understand on that issue. Yes, we will communicate the program to one of members. And that's the 2010. Oh, the breaking date for provinces on our hotel land, we don't have them yet because it's the PLO, as they've indicated that there are four provinces, colleagues who have indicated the breaking date. So, my understanding, and I guess maybe even extend on that, even before they communicate that date to us, they should bounce them with you to check if you are available, if you are okay, and then submit.
Provinces that indicated 22nd of March, which is KwaZulu-Natal, province we haven't heard yet from Northern Cape, but also the Eastern Cape have indicated 22nd. So we've got three provinces indicating 22nd, and then four with Northern Cape, and 124 that is the Western Cape, and I think Mpumalanga indicated that they haven't moved their date from the 30th.
Okay.
That's Mpumalanga and the 50th. 50th at the first, I think.
Oh, okay.
On Friday, on the 10th, the two provinces confirmed. And I think National Treasury confirmed that they will have two officials. Yes, the 30th. Yeah, 29 and the 30th.
When is
the 29th? Yeah, they should be 29 or... Yeah, but the two provinces in principle. Mpumalanga hasn't moved the initial date. So it's confirmed. Okay. Yes, I'm not going to join as the province has been participating as requested, so I will not join their briefing. I have made it clear that we have got a public hearing. So if the province doesn't shift that date, we will not participate.
You're not going to
join? I am in Johannesburg. Otherwise, why don't we have our session outside this meeting so that we agree on the details so far. Thank you.
Because we now approaching the negotiating mandate, your letter, just reminding you of the letter you sent to the finance chair promising in the legislature on the procedures and amendments to this thing. So I hope there is work going on before they pick it up again and raise it. When we're supposed to do the negotiating mandate. Remember that letter, John. Of the procedure, the cycle matter and those kind of amendments to the bill. Then the second matter, change, just the general one relating to the framework program, the framework whether the just a question. And as a message for those who sit in the management committee, and that is how if we get that clarity in the next meeting, whether we will attend, we will be having a study tour this year or not, because in principle, it helps us, those of us who participate in other committees, to then know that we are indeed confirming our attendance to those committees, and also check, and just to make an emphasis that only if it's necessary and arranged, Chair, that Friday meetings take place, that this committee must hold the principle that for now, structurally, the program is not, we're not scheduled to sit on Friday, because it makes some of us So please, Chair, those principles must guide us in whatever decision we make for Friday, but also any other decision that might impact the program should be communicated in time, particularly the study groups. I'm sorry, not the study group, this one on study tours. And the other one was just about the letter that you sent to the people here of my province, promising them that there would be the matter would be attended to at least by March this year. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. No, thanks, Honorable Zimande. Yes, the issue of the review of the money bill, what is it, the amendment? It was, I think, tabled in the... Remember, we had the workshop, old assembly, and then the process will unfold, I think, honorably here the day, because it's finance committees that is going to lead the process. For the main budget, we're not worried about the period of engaging the budget. Remember, the tight time frame largely are during the MGPS stage, but I think that process of review, firmly we have agreed now, it's underway. And we have agreed, I think we have said in principle, we should have concluded. concluded it by June or so, it's our wish as joint committees to say that we should conclude this and the two houses, the review on the money bill. The second point on the study tour, in our strategic planning session, we recommended that we set the country of Malaysia and China or another country, but the time is around August, between August and September. That's the time frame that we said August, September. So I think the research team will still add some of the issues, critical issues that relate to appropriations that we want to study, and then we'll present the report in another committee where now the finality and satisfaction in terms of areas of work, of study that we want to undertake in the countries that we firmly look into. So those are the issues. I think we'll follow up on the issues that we have raised, members. We do not want to meet the date of the 2nd May. It will be after long holidays. It will be after a month of constituency period. So it will be critical that the 2nd of May we seize the opportunity to deal with this public hearing. So we believe that Friday meetings, yes, but where possible, we always, Fridays are declared days for standing committees, but as well as during budget process, the days that appropriations and finance must utilize for Fridays. So there's no doubt about it. Yeah, it's not for laxities, it's very important presentations that we have to undertake. We have had a joint meeting, standing committee has had a public hearing yesterday, and we're having our meeting and we have a separate public hearing. Initially, we used to have joint public hearings, but we have allowed our process to flow because we've got time to spread over our progress. With your cooperation, thank you very much. Yes, we agree with that. Salka was not there, FSC was there, budget office was there, and it was a very useful meeting and you were absent. We are not reviewing whether members are available or not. We were pressed of time and also significance. We must have Friday meetings. That is non-negotiable beyond our feelings as members, but important we put parliament program before us. Thanks, members. Any other matter?
Lastly, the same with respect to program. After the second of after the adoption of the division of revenue and thereafter appropriation bill, then the committee will do it normally over time to expenditure report, expenditure quarterly report. So I'm not going to go into details with them when I come back. You will see the program. We wanted to emphasize on the processing of the division of revenue. On that issue of division of revenue, last year when I remember, we emailed the specific information to the province that will assist when you brief your province. So I wanted to
when is Northern Cape briefing?
There is tomorrow a program meeting in Kimberley, the legislature proposed date 22nd of March. 22nd of March, including a public hearing. But I'll get the confirmation after the program meeting tomorrow in Kimberley. Just the last thing. It's the last time we see each other before we go to Gauteng for public hearings, which is a finance exercise. Yes. Please take, members, your documentation on the Twin Peaks with you when you leave Parliament Thursday or Friday. If you have to do some prior reading again, prepare it for the public hearing. And you're just back on board again where we were last. It's quite a period of time that we didn't interact with the legislation. Just do your reading, as well as the research papers that were sent to you, which is high quality. Thank you.
We will, I think, in our meeting, so we agreed that we'll always feature the research unit to just give a high level of a briefing of like some of the issues that they would like committee members to look at. And I think it will be easier even when we are outside during our public hearing from time to time to have a discussion. But from now, I think our committee secretariat, the research unit, and the budget office will include the budget office, because in the research of countries that we visit, because also of the existence of the budget office is a specific matter of interest. Initially, I remember that the budget office indicated something about models, good models in one of the African countries, is it Kenya? But we just need information so that we finalize our itinerary for a study tour. So thanks very much, members, and thanks for your attendance. Thanks, Honorable Mr. Shubin.